listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the program. I'd like to begin with an article from Benjamin Creme's Master that was originally published in January 1991. It mentions the Middle East in the first paragraph, but if we replace that with Ukraine and Russia, it can be seen to be very relevant indeed. It's titled "The Dark Before the Dawn." Recent events in the Middle East and other areas have shown once again how precariously poised is peace, how tender and vulnerable a flower it is as yet. Nowhere, it would seem, have its roots gone deep. Nowhere, it would appear, have men tended carefully its early growth. The bright promise of the year now ended seems clouded and fraught with danger and mayhem. How to account for such dramatic change? Men tend, in the midst of such change, to see each event as separate, unrelated acts which, multiplying out of their control, threaten their very existence. The reality is somewhat different. All change results from response to energy, and today, as never before, man finds himself bombarded by powerful forces, new and unfamiliar, with which he must cope. That he is coping reasonably well is not in doubt. Despite all appearances, man is better equipped to use these forces than hitherto, but, as yet, these unaccustomed stimuli galvanize him into actions, precipitate or clumsy, the results of which he cannot always foresee. So powerful and omnipresent are these new energies that a period of slow adjustment is inevitable. We are witnessing simultaneously the rebirth of hope and freedom on a mass scale and the last efforts of the old order to re-establish itself against the tide of evolution. The new age is on its way and naught can halt its progress, but man himself determines the speed and ease or otherwise of that forward movement. New forces are gathering to avert calamitous war. Wise men from many countries are making their voices heard and are calling for discussions to avoid such folly. Through them does Maitreya thus guide the actions of men from behind the scenes. His inspiration will lead the nations back from the abyss. Thus will it be. And thus will men come to understand the sanctity of peace, the necessity of justice, the beauty of the rule of law. Each day that passes brings nearer the day of declaration, when Maitreya will appear openly to all the world. On that glad day, the shared joy of men and women everywhere will transform the present clouded picture of anxiety and fear. The current turmoil and threat are but the prelude to a new era of peaceful cooperative effort to right the wrongs of the past, to create justice among the nations, to resolve ancient disputes, and to uphold the international law. When men look back on this time, they will see it as the dark night which precedes the brightest dawn and will be glad to have lived at this eventful period. The world awaits the teacher. The teacher awaits his opportunity to emerge and, in full view, teach and serve. Now on to an article from the December 2022 issue of Share International magazine. It's titled Energy in Abundance, and it's based on an interview with a man by the name of Carsten von Esdonck. And the interview was conducted by Niels Bos, who's a co-worker living in the Netherlands. For regular readers of Share International, free energy is not an unknown phenomenon. The work of pioneers like Nikola Tesla and proponents like Jean Manning has received attention in this magazine sufficient to at least familiarize the reader with the basic characteristics of free energy. At a young age, during his college years, Carsten von Esdonck, who's now 27, came into contact with the subject, and he remains committed to ongoing research and development. In his Energy Abundance Foundation, based in the Netherlands, he focuses in the broadest sense on raising awareness about free energy. This includes lectures, a website, and soon also a book with the appropriate title Energy in Abundance. Niels Bos interviewed him for the magazine. And his first question was, can you tell us something about the origin of energy abundance? And Carsten's reply, yes, that happened in November 2019 when I attended the Global Breakthrough Energy Movement Conference. That was the first congress about free energy I attended, and it happened to be in the Netherlands. After a number of years of being very enthusiastic about free energy, this was an opportunity to go there and meet inventors and people in the field. It was very inspiring, and I met Casper Boom, a filmmaker, who was just as enthusiastic about free energy as I am. We immediately became friends. This gave rise to the idea of making a documentary about free energy, as together we had already gathered a lot of knowledge and inspiration about it. We also felt that the technology was not so much the problem, but that people need to become more aware, first of themselves and of the world, and then of free energy. And so the idea was to use the documentary as a vehicle to raise awareness. And this is how the Energy Abundance Foundation was born. The name stands for the awareness and dissemination of free energy and also the research into it. During the pandemic, the ambition of that great documentary turned out to be a bit too big, perhaps even unfeasible, and gradually the idea faded. After a year, I rediscovered my own interest in the technical side of free energy. And the next question, how does it work and how can I manifest it myself? And Carsten's reply, my background is technical. I studied biomedical technology at the Technical University in Eindhoven as part of a master's course in applied physics. So I was interested in the technology behind free energy and started doing research myself into how we can tap it from the ether, that surrounding field, with an electromagnetic device. And that has been my area of research since last year. The idea of the documentary may have somewhat expired, but we will still keep an eye on a lot of developments in the field in the Netherlands and beyond. And we network with a lot of people. Because there are still a lot of groups and individuals who are engaged, it becomes more and more interesting and important as the crises in the world increase. Those are actually our two main goals. The first is networking, connecting and raising awareness, and the other is doing physical research into it and actually manifesting the technology. And you're also writing a book. What's the main focus of the book? The title of the book is Energy in Abundance, and the hope is that could become a new kind of standard introduction to the phenomenon of free energy. There are already some books, such as written by Jean Manning and Susan Manowich, and the earlier book by Joel Garbin and Jean Manning. And those are excellent books to give a first impression of what it is. But I did not think it was a book that you can also give to your neighbour saying, look, this is what free energy is. This is why it's not yet used. This is what different forms there are, and this is what we can do with it. We wanted a book that would be simple, clear, compact, and concise. That is the purpose of this book, to serve as a first introduction, nice and compact, with a fresh approach that is suitable for our times. You've just mentioned the ether or the etheric realms. How would you explain this topic to your neighbour? That's a good question. The ether could be described as the background field of energy that is always present everywhere. And that's something very abstract at first because we can't see or feel that at all. But you can think of it like this. That every atom and every molecule in the universe is connected to some kind of substrata. In technical terms, a substrata, with which it is all connected. And even in empty space where there are no atoms and molecules, that substratum is still there. We can demonstrate this, but we cannot yet say from conventional science that energy can be extracted from it. But we can calculate how much energy it contains, and that's huge. You could say that it is the background substance of the entire universe from which everything originates or is connected. And in the past, were there people who have made the link between this background field and our energy supply? Yes, that is quite a rich history that I will go into in my book. But in a nutshell, the notion of the ether has been around for a very long time. Thousands of years, really. There was also a term for it in ancient Indian culture. They called it akasha. And that is a term that is still used in spiritual circles. It is therefore about the primordial soup of energy from which everything originates. You could say it is a dimension, an energetic layer, just above our physical reality. And we are not talking about what lies above this level or reality. You could say that there are many more dimensions. And in Greek philosophy, 2,500 years ago, it was called ether. And ether, according to Aristotle, was the fifth element after earth, water, fire, and air. Ether was considered the basic substance that connected the other four elements and gave them their right to exist. So that's how the system of the five elements came into being. And so, throughout modern history, the notion of the ether has been held until at some point it has gone out of fashion in modern physical history. It is only since the development of quantum mechanics and physics that it has returned to science. So, from the 1920s onwards, it became clear that the empty space previously seen as really empty, because the ether as a concept had fallen out of fashion, cannot really be empty, because quantum mechanics states that everything consists of waves. And if you have waves on the ocean, of course, it's the water that waves. But if you think of matter in our reality as waves on an ocean, what is the ocean? So the notion of the ether comes up again because the medium in which the waves we call reality exist is not empty, but a substance in which the waves can propagate. In your work, you refer a lot to spirituality. What does it mean to you? Simply put, spirituality to me is the notion that everything consists of and emanates from one field of consciousness. That everything you see, everything you can touch, but also everything you don't see, your thoughts and emotions and abstract concepts such as love, arises from and consists of consciousness. That there is a certain intelligence behind it that you could also call God, the core of every religion, but that in the end it is all one, connected in a field of consciousness. This realization has grown in me because I encountered it everywhere where science stopped and reached its limit, like in quantum physics. Because there it also became clear that the observed and the observer with his consciousness cannot be separated. They are intertwined. And what is the core of it? Awareness. Consciousness is the engine of our reality. But you can also see that in other phenomena. I've researched all kinds of things, like the UFO phenomenon. And in history, there are also a lot of things that you could describe with alternative theories that make much more sense than the history that you find in books. How is it possible that we live in such a society in which we now live with all these problems, while we already have solutions that can solve them? Each of the puzzle pieces, such as spirituality or self-healing through thought power, or the alternative history of certain events, actually point to consciousness and the evolution of our consciousness, that there is a process going on in our human collective to grow and learn. All those puzzle pieces point to the same core, and that is consciousness or spirituality. If we were more aware of that, we would live in a different kind of world. How do you see the future for you? I view it very optimistically. We really can't help but grow, and we grow towards a new state of consciousness in which we again clearly experience that connection which is inherent in reality. Because now we are in a phase of human development in which we are completely separated from each other and from the environment and from nature, and that has become worse. And now we are in that tipping point where people are becoming aware again of who they are and what they are. And so that's the whole field, really. Each individual is thus a representative of the whole universe. So you are that powerful. But that also implies that you are connected to all that is. So you and I are connected to that field, but also to this computer and my desk and the air I breathe. And that connection, that is love. The power of the universe is the connection between everything. And that is a loving power. And irrevocably, that power is also the driving force behind what I do. So that's the end of that article. We have time for an excerpt from one of Maitreya's messages. And I'm going to read out, I think, number 18, or part of at least. Liberation is the goal for mankind. To that goal I shall point the way, shall lead you forward and cut before you the steps of ascent. My masters will show you how to live simply and dwell and in full happiness. They have trodden the road before and know well the way. Like children in full trust, let them show you that way. Let them take you step by step through the labyrinth. And when you are ready, before my splendor shall you come, and through me shall you see the face of God. Make your choice well, my friends, make it now. Take your stand with those who wish to share and love, with those for whom justice is divine. Make now your choice, and let your light shine forth and ease my path. Men await my coming, yet know not that I am already here. Tell them that my manifestation is completed. I, Maitreya, their brother, stand among them. Await my call and act. Tell men that I expect that they will follow me, but they must decide. They must want the path which they must tread if they would see God. That's the end of the program. Thank you very much for listening. And if you'd like more information, check out the website share-international.org or email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. And wishing you all a lovely week.